Welcome back to Microsoft Virtual Academy's deploying Office 2013 with AppV. We're now going to dive into Module 2, which dives deeper into package creation. The Office deployment tool is the primary tool for actually deploying Office 2013 in terms of actually downloading the bits necessary, converting those bits and packaging those bits into an AppV package. We use this tool to download the click-to-run media to customize the packages for click-to-run and for AppV. In this context, we're doing it for AppV. And finally, converting the click-to-run package over to AppV using the packager switch. The Office deployment tool is periodically updated, so it is probably a good idea to check the link for the update, usually about every 3 or 4 months. Among the things that we customize the AppV package is the product SKUs, whether we're including products like Project and Visio, the actual version of the package. If you do not specify a version when you're actually downloading the binaries, it will download the most recent version based off the Office 365 release manifest. You may also want to specify whether you're downloading a 64-bit package or a 32-bit package. Due to the complexity of a lot of the add-ins and plugins, 32-bit seems to be the most popular, and it still works completely on par on even x64 platforms. And then, of course, we have the notion of using language packs. If you want to download and actually package all of your language packs into a single Office 2013 AppV package, you can do the same process that you would do for downloading the base package to also include language packs. The package download process is very simple. We run the setup command with the download switch. This download switch then compares it, then actually looks at the configuration XML to determine what products I will actually be downloading. Regardless of what products you specify, the base Office Pro Plus binaries will actually be downloaded, even if they're not packaged into an Office AppV package. So if you're downloading, let's say, a link package or a specific Word package where Word's going to be the only application that you're actually going to download, and you might explicitly exclude other applications or SKUs, you will still have a fairly large download initially, and then the flattening will actually reduce it to that particular SKU as well as the Office shared features. One thing that a lot of our customers will do is a lot of our customers will schedule this to occur using a scheduled task. In the case of a lot of our enterprise customers, we will notice that they are actually scheduling this to occur 1 or 2 days after Patch Tuesdays when the actual Office releases are made available. Once you've actually downloaded the package, will initially be in the click-to-run streaming.dat formats, where you'll have the base English, the base bits, as well as the cabinet files and the necessary signature files for click-to-run. At that point, we have to do what's called a package flattening process, in which we actually have to convert the package from these cab and DAT files over to our AppV single package format. In addition, it will also generate sample deployment configuration and user configuration files, so you can go in and do further customization using AppV's dynamic configuration feature. A few current recommended practices for ODT AppV package generation. Now, if you're familiar with AppV, you're familiar with sequencing, and while there are some differences in the actual process, some of our current recommended practices remain the same. For example, you always want to download the ODT package on a clean machine. You do not want any existing Office applications installed on this machine. It's probably wise to use a virtual machine, similar to what we do with sequencing. In sequencing, we have a VM methodology where we actually will sequence and then we'll revert back to a clean state. That's also a great idea when you're actually generating Office packages using the ODT. I also recommend that if you're taking advantage of multiple package GUID attributes, which are ways of allowing you to manage multiple AppV packages within the same, or multiple Office AppV packages within the same management system, that you have one VM per package GUID attribute, especially if modifying post-additional generation. And always, as I mentioned earlier, keep the Office deployment tool updated to the latest version. Let's look at an example ODT configuration file. So a lot of what we have in the ODT is optional, in which if you do not specify things, you will actually revert to the defaults. A few key items that you have to have, of course, is a source path. If you don't specify a version, it will download the most recent version available, and of course, your bitness. Your bitness, whether it's 32 or 64-bit, will be specified under Office Client Edition. And then for each product ID, you're going to specify whether you're going to do subscription licensing or you're going to do volume licensing. In this first example on the left, we have an example of subscription licensing where Office 365 Pro Plus Retail is specified, and on top of that, Visio Pro Retail is specified. On the right-hand side, we have an example of it with volume licensing where we're doing Pro Plus Volume, and for this particular package example, we're going to be including Visio and Project, also Pro Volume. You can also do additional things for further customization, whether or not you want to see the actual progress occur during the flattening process, things like accepting the EULA. However, bear in mind that there are going to be some options in the configuration XML that apply only to click to run and become obsolete and do not affect AppV packages once the package is actually converted over to AppV. The nice thing about Office AppV package customizations is we add this extra layer of dynamic configuration that can be done post-package generation. This prevents us from having to actually start all over again and generate an entire new Office package just for some minor customizations. We also can use the same base Office package and have multiple different configurations depending on the type of users or machines that we may be targeting. For example, we might not want to publish certain Office applications. We might not want certain shortcuts to appear. We might want to disable certain COM or native extensions like file type associations. We may not necessarily want Outlook, for example, to be the default email client. Many additional customizations will be in place, including the option to include embedded scripting. However, as I'll discuss later, there is one piece of embedded scripting that you cannot remove or cannot customize. Customizations make sure that we don't always have to require repacking or redeployment of the package. In fact, if we want to make a change after we've deployed the package, we can also deploy updated deployment configuration to do things such as change shortcut positions or add a new shortcut. For example, you might want Link to actually start up automatically, so you would want to put Link in the startup program group. One thing that is important, once you have nailed down your Office configuration, especially for package generation, you want to solidify and lock down your configuration.xml file. Be wary of changes. We also have a full-featured configuration XML reference available on Microsoft TechNet. And of course, the most common problem we have with customers who are doing this for the first time involves syntax. Forgetting to uncomment sections within the configuration XML file. Product IDs might be entered in incorrectly, or the default paths may not be actually adjusted to include the proper paths. And of course, always with XML, you might want to consider using an XML editor to verify that you don't have any syntax or malformed XML errors. So let's walk through the actual Office Deployment Toolkit. So here you see I've actually downloaded the Office Deployment Toolkit, and I have my setup exe and configuration.xml file already in place. Now, when I want to actually download the actual package, I will use the setup download feature, and I will actually then point to the actual configuration file that I'm using. And when I enter this, it will proceed to download into the specified directory. In this case, I have specified the directory to be C2R for click to run. And when I go into the click to run directory, for the sake of time, I've actually ran through the download process. There will be a subdirectory called Office, and beneath Office there will be a data directory, and beneath the data directory there will be a directory for every version of Click2Run that you've actually downloaded. In this case, this is 15.0.4631. In addition, you will have very important signature files that must not be removed in order to continue the process. Otherwise, it will fail to actually flatten the package to appv. And inside this directory will be the actual click-to-run bits. When it comes time to actually flatten the package, we will run the actual setup. Actually, let me change directories back to the proper working directory. When I specify the packager option, I will then need to follow it up with the path to my configuration XML file. Because this configuration XML file is not only used when downloading, it's also used when packaging, because the packager is going to take the option specified in the configuration XML for licensing, and it will configure the integrator to actually activate either through volume licensing or through subscription licensing. And then, of course, I will need to specify a location for my flatten appv packages, which I will specify using appv packages. If you do not specify, it will assume your current directory, and then it will create a subdirectory called appv packages. The flattening process may take a long period of time, and if you want, you can actually turn off this visual display. By default, the visual display is turned off in recent versions, but previous versions of the ODT have it turned on by default. Regardless, the configuration XML file will allow you to control the display level, especially if you're running this through a scheduled task. I grew up on cooking shows, and one thing that cooking shows taught me is to have a prepared version already available, which I do for the sake of time. In this case, we have three output files. We have the actual appv package itself, and we have the deployment config, and we have the user config. In this case, because I've included Visio in project, it's going to be called Visio Pro Volume, Pro Plus Volume, Project Pro Volume. The naming convention is based upon the licensing methodology. This actually simplifies the process and allows you to actually keep track of your packages based off of licensing using the nomenclature. You don't have to stick to these default names, but I would recommend them. That concludes Module 2. In our next module, we will discuss deployment and publishing the Office 2013 appv package. Once you've generated the actual package, the next step is, of course, to publish and test the package. I'll reiterate our resources that we have available for deploying Office 2013 with appv. We have our primary TechNet article, Virtualizing Office 2013 for Application Virtualization, available on TechNet. We have our Office Click2Run release manifest, which the appv package versions align with. Finally, our Office Deployment Toolkit. Be sure to check back for updates to that download page. And then, of course, the configuration XML reference. And finally, the Office 365 roadmap. In our next module, we will again discuss packaging and deployment, followed by Module 4, which will get into advanced options and caveats. Thank you very much. See you at Module 3.